This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ به من شر أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق حديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير حديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In one translation, indeed, all praise belongs to Allah, the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions again. And we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there's no one who can mislead him. And whoever Allah causes to go astray, then there's no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his worshiper and his messenger. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb who created you from a single soul and from it he created his mate and from the two of them he spread forth many men and many women. Be careful of your duty to Allah whom you demand your mutual rights and be careful of your duty to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is our Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial and he will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. Indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all innovations are astray. And each astray is in the hellfire. O Allah, save us from it. O Allah, accept our dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. It is He who raised up among the unlettered people a messenger from them to recite His verses to them and purify them and teach them the book and wisdom, even though before that they were clearly misguided. And also he says, every soul will be held responsible for what it has done. And we have to look at this particular ayat, how the Prophet, peace be upon him, how when he came to the Quraysh, they were people who were steeped in ignorance. Please tell the brothers to be quiet in the back, inshallah. They were steeped in ignorance. And so it's important that we recognize that any society that the Islam has come to, many of the people have different variations of ignorance, whether they're worshiping, you know, individuals, whether they're worshiping three gods, whether they're worshiping multiple gods or multiple deities. So we have to be of those to recognize that even though the Prophet, peace be upon him, came 1,400 years ago, ignorance is still ignorance today, just like truth is still truth today. And so, even though we may not worship a little idol, we may worship money. We may worship the opposite sex. We may worship drugs. Anything that you put before Allah, we may worship the work that we do. We may worship our families. So we have to basically be of those to not practice the shirk. We have to be of those who are following, again, not the ways of our fathers, but we want to follow the ways of our prophetic fathers. The way of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, the way of Musa, alayhi salam, the way of Isa, alayhi salam. Of all the prophets who have come before, they brought the message of the one deity, one God. And so we have to start to internalize that in an effort to actualize that. And what I mean by that, if we, again, believe in this way of life, we have to start practicing it as a way of life and not practicing it as a religion. Religion is just full of rituals. But a way of life, it's internal and external. I wanted to use the term congruency. Congruency is what's going on in the inside is actualized on the outside. It's a mathematic term, but they also use it in psychology, that basically who you are inside is being expressed on the outside. So we have to recognize that we have to have a great level of congruency in the way we're practicing our deen. One of the things that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that there's nothing weightier in the scales than good morals and characters, good morals and manners. And he also said he only came to improve character. He only came to mankind to improve character. That's it. Because again, that's timeless to have good character. It's timeless to be able to be an honest person. Just like a thief 1,400 years ago is the same as a thief today. A murderer 1,400 years ago is the same as a murderer today. We're just wearing different clothes. We're just driving different modes of transportation. But man's character, it will, basically, it's timeless. And so we have to be of those to use the Islam to improve our characters, brothers and sisters. As Muslims, you know, we have to take heed of the role that we have in the world. And we can look at all of the problems that's going on in the world today. All of the problems that's happening in the world, whether it's politically, whether it's economically, spiritually, you know, as well as on the healthcare front. We are still in the midst of a pandemic. But even before this physical pandemic, there was a spiritual pandemic. And so we have to be of those too, that we want to integrate the Islam into the overall society. But if we're able to do that, before we can do that, we have to integrate it into ourselves, internalize this deen. You know, when I was growing up in the Philadelphia area, you know, again, the many brothers and sisters have heard me say this before, we used to call people PTMs, part-time Muslims. Part-time Muslims, because we were still steeped in ignorance. And then they would just want to come and, you know, dip their toe in the ignorance every now and then. And then every so often you'll see them, you know, still trying to pretend to be Muslim. And so today we have many part-time Muslims. And so we have to get away from that. If you're going to be Muslim, be Muslim. If you're going to be thugged out, you know? Because the thugs don't respect you, you know, if you come in and fake. Because again, I was there, and we didn't respect the people who were pretending to be Muslim. If you're getting high, do what you need to do to get away from the substances. Don't just try to basically make it compatible to this deen. Don't bring your ignorance into the deen. The deen is about enlightenment. We have to be congruent. We have to be of those who are spreading this message over and over and over and over again. And all of us went through different levels of ignorance. And we're coming on the other end. You know, again, we're closer to the grave. Many of us graybeards are closer to the grave than the cradle. And so the young brothers and sisters who are coming into the deen, there's certain things that you have to sacrifice. And if you give up something for Allah, He'll give you something better. If you give up an unhealthy relationship for Allah, He'll give you something better. If you give up drugs for Allah, He'll give you something better. If you give up stealing and dealing and all sorts of illegal activities for Allah, He will give you something better. But you have to believe that. You have to believe that. This is the meaning of congruency, brothers and sisters. You know, we can't act like those who are misguided. Again, when a person comes to a Muslim, they need to have a positive experience. You know, there needs to be a positive impression left. Because you have to look at Islamic history. You know, just like, you know, you hear people talking about the death of the queen, and as we say for anybody who dies, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. But the British Empire is one of the most wretched empires on the planet. And they went to war with the Muslims. And so we have to recognize that. We have to recognize that. They saw themselves as the protectors of Christendom. And a part of that was the slave trade. Part of that was the getting involved in the different wars in Muslim lands, trying to spread Christianity through Muslim lands. And so we have to basically, as they say, tell the whole story. Tell the whole story. You know, he used to call it the holy, you know, empire. And so we have to say, if we are going to establish Islam in the land, first we have to establish the Islam in our hearts. And everybody has treated Islam like a buffet. They treated Islam like a buffet. They take this aspect of Islam and they'll use it, and they'll take this aspect of Islam and then they'll use it or abuse it. And so we have to be of those to present the whole message to the people. I was reflecting on a story about the Egyptian scholar Muhammad Abdu. He was traveling through Europe in the late 19th century, and he summed it up with an adage. He said, "I went to the West and I saw Islam, but no Muslims. When I got back to the East, I saw Muslims, but no Islam." Can we say that about Muslims today? In different countries, in different communities, you know, we can see Muslims, but no Islam. And again, what he's saying, you know, with that different adage, that particular adage, is that all of the ethics that were in place in Europe at that time, and which again, a lot of it came from Islam in its heyday, in the height of the Islamic civilization, it civilized Europe. They didn't know how to take baths. During the Inquisition, when they were trying to persecute Muslims, the way they found out who was a Muslim and who wasn't a Muslim, they would tell you, take your boots off. And if your feet were clean, you were a Muslim because you had to make wudu. To the point that Muslims had to start praying, just blinking their eyes. That's how bad it got. And as I continue to mention, as El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz said week before he died, he said, this society has just as much capability as Hitler's society did to create gas ovens. And so if it gets to that point, how are you going to be? Are you going to have enough iman, as Sheikh Khalifa spoke of last week? Will you have enough iman to be able to deal with any of the adversities that will come your way as a result of people turning on the Muslims? If you're not doing the dawah, if the people are not spreading the word of Islam, then we can become, you know, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, that, you know, we will be like food, and people will just pick at us like diners at a table. And the companion said, will we be less? Or, you know, but he said, no, there'll be a lot of y'all. But, you know, they will fear death. And they'll love the world. They'll love the world. And so we have to be of those who are congruent in our deen. And again, what did Brother Muhammad Abdu, what did he see? He saw a lack of modesty, a lack of generosity, a lack of courage, a lack of forgiveness, a lack of forbearance, and a lack of ethics during that time in the Muslim world. So we have to be of those to look at the Quran and look at the Hadith and say, well, how can I basically implement this in my daily life? I was in Savannah last week and doing a talk, and my talk was basically an Islamic approach to recovery from addiction. And you presented information on a group called Al-Kafara and the other group, Milati Islami. But during the talk, it was a three-hour talk, people kept stopping me because I would mention the Hadith or mention an ayat from the Quran. And they would say, okay, tell us more about that. Tell us more about that. They were hungry for just getting the knowledge of Islam. And a young lady came up to me after the talk and said, and she just came up to me very sheepishly and said, I didn't know Islam was that close to Christianity. She didn't know. She was ignorant of it. And so we're not doing our job, brothers and sisters. And at the end of the talk, I didn't know, but there was a board member in the audience came up to me and said, you gave a 3-hour talk this year. Next year, I want you to put it in, and I want you to do a 6-hour talk. They didn't run away from it because they were hungry for this knowledge. And so and that's just one experience. And I'm sure many of you have had similar experiences, but we have to give the dawah. We have to use the modes of expression and communication, that whether it's, you know, through the social media, you know, whether it's through, you know, basically the different forms of communication, the texting and all of that. We have so much technology that the Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't have in his day, that people 10, 15 years ago didn't have. You know, when I came into Islam, all we had was the radio. And we had several radio programs in Philadelphia. And to wit, you know, I believe that the work that we did in the 70s contributed to Philadelphia being, as they say, the most Islamic city in this country. More Muslims, you know, per capita in Philadelphia than any other city, for the most part, the practice. And so we have to say that, you know, we don't just want numbers, we want quality. We don't just want numbers, we want quality. If I've said anything that's inconsistent with what Allah has given us and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, I take full responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some new insight, as always, all praise is due to Allah. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu mulk, lahu hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The Prophet ﷺ said, the most evil in my nation are the garrulous braggarts and pompous. The best of my nation are those with the best character. Verily, the believers with the most complete faith are those with the most excellent character and who are most kind to their families. And again, we look at the word akhlaq, and again, it's generally referred to as noble character, morality, or ethical conduct, and we have to develop that. What are we doing to develop our characters? Again, we can't revert to old ways. As the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, if you imitate a people, you are of that people. Abdullah ibn Amr reported that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ says, whoever would love to be delivered from the hellfire and admitted to paradise, let him meet his end with faith in Allah in the last day, and let him treat people as he would love to be treated. And in this hadith, it doesn't distinguish between the Muslims, and I'll use the term not yet Muslims. Not yet Muslims, because everybody has the potential to be a Muslim. The merciful will be shown mercy by the merciful. Be merciful to those on the earth, and the one in heavens will have mercy upon you. This is what the Prophet ﷺ says, that we have to show mercy to those and expose them to this deen. And we can do it verbally, and we can do it through our actions. We have to give people a positive experience, and it will resonate. It will resonate with them. Give them a positive experience. You know, even in the work that I do in the counseling, you know, I tell people that, you know, they'll talk, well, it's too late for this and too late for that, too late for this relationship and too late for that relationship. And I tell them that, you know, the scholars of family therapy and couples therapy say that it takes 5 positive experiences to erase every 1 negative experience. 5 positive experiences to erase every 1 negative experience. And so if you had 20 negative experiences, you need to give a person 100 positive experiences. And so what we have to look at is, what kind of experiences are we giving the people in the area? We've been in this area since 1976, for the most part. And for the most part, I'm convinced that we've given people a fairly positive experience. But it has to be consistent. Because just like faith, faith is a dynamic force, dynamism. You ride a bicycle, you're going to pedal, you're going to move. You stop pedaling, you're going to coast. If you don't start back pedaling, you're going to tip over. So it's not about how much deen you did in the past. Oh man, when I was in the joint, I was down. I had a non-Muslim coworker. He said his brother is the best Muslim in jail. He gets out of jail and he goes right back to what he's doing. This was a non-Muslim. not yet Muslim. That was the experience that he had with his blood brother. He said, he's the best Muslim in jail. You know, you don't have, although you're locked down, you don't have the desires, you know, in the jail that you may have on the outside. Because you, Allah says, you know, don't say that you believe and that you won't be tested. And so we're getting tested every day. That's why we stretch out the prayers, five prayers, the Juma, the Ramadan. It's all designed to basically allow us, it creates a spiritual antibiotic to the infections in the society. So we have to be of those who are, again, who are congruent in practicing, in practice and in word. This is what we have to do. It is said that, again, that the best experiences, the best teacher is the experience. And so if people want to learn about Islam, how are they experiencing the Muslims around them? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah said that the believer does not insult others, nor curse others, nor is vulgar and is not shameless. And a man asked the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Islam is the best? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, to feed the hungry and to greet with peace those you know and those who you don't know. Those you know and those who you don't know. So there's a lot of work to be done, brothers and sisters, again, and congruency, again, the quality of state of agreeing in words. In other words, you know, what's on the inside needs to be reflected on the outside. It also said that whoever has three qualities will have completed faith: fairness from yourselves to others, offering peace to the world, and spending in charity, even if you're poor, even if you're broke. Give something. And you hear, remember the hadith, even a smile is charity. A poor person can smile. Again, like the Sheikh said last week, we need iman, because that's going to be our fuel for any adversity that we face, whether it's in this society or in whatever society Allah puts us in. You know, again, we need iman, you know, to move throughout the society in a congruent fashion. You're Muslim all the time, 24/7. Our deen will be tested on many levels, and we have to have clear focus. You know, we have to say, what is Islam and what is ignorance? And again, go to people who know. Go to people who know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, lurking towards you are the diseases of the nations before you. Envy and hatred are the razor. I do not say that they shave hair, but rather they shave religion. By the one in whose hand is my soul, you will not enter paradise until you have faith. And you will not have faith until you love each other. Shall I tell you what you can affirm that for you? Spread the peace between yourselves. Again, let us be of those who show the love to one another, and let us be of those who spread the peace and not fitna. And let us be of those who strive for paradise on a daily basis. You know, we have to, there's a concept in psychology about mindfulness, and the concept basically says just stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. And then what will happen is you don't basically go too far out into the future or venture too far in the past. You want to stay in the moment. And again, how we experience each other, that's all we have right now. And so we have to start giving positive experiences to one another and to anybody that we run into. Because they will say, oh, this person helped me with my car. That was a Muslim. This person did that. That was a Muslim. Not, oh, he was a Muslim. They did this, or they did that, or they engaging in all sorts of haram, and they calling themselves Muslims. But you see, people who don't know anything about the Quran and Hadith, they'll tell you, you know, what a Muslim is and what a Muslim isn't. Because they know we, you know, the bottom line, they know we're supposed to be about righteousness and not righteousness. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته كما حملت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا لا سبحان الله ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته والذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهمنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا أهل الكون الكافرين. Our Lord, take us not to task if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay down on us a burden such as you did lay on those who have gone before us. Our Lord, lay down on us a burden which we do not have the power to bear, and overlook our faults, and forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our protector and grant us the victory over the disbelieving people. In common, Father.